Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman came from the region, came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May we pray. It is our desire this day, O Lord, to be your servants, to call us, we ask, to obedience, so that we might bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for calling them, O Lord, to be your servants. We ask, O Lord, that each and every day we do not disgrace that name by which we are called, that is Christian. That our words and our deeds may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Well, was that some singing or was that some singing? That was some singing. If Betty Lee had been here, I would have thrown my socks up in the air. Betty Lee wasn't here. It's good to see Miss Brooks in the choir. Amen. Welcome, Miss Brooks. Good to see Albert back. Albert, we were tired of turning out the lights. We needed someone who knew how to do it. We weren't doing it right. We're glad that you are back. And those of you who are back after being out for so long, we're glad that you're here. We know that it's been summertime and we're back at work and we're getting back in routine. We live busy lives. We're involved with our grandchildren, our children. We live our life and we pray for one another. We're here in spirit and we support our church in every way that we possibly can. Our scriptures today, I share some things with me that's very disturbing to me. I don't really like to preach on this passage. I'd rather skip it and preach on the Psalms or the Epistle or the Old Testament or something else. This just the scriptures here just sort of bother me. One of the things that bothers me is that you can't eat good food and it turn you into good people. That bothers me. It just because you see, I'm a person who likes good food. I was raised on good food. My daddy would spend money on food. He wouldn't spend money on a lot of stuff, but now he would spend money on good food. He was raised that way. My grandfather always had a pot of pintos and cornbread on the stove every time you went over at Gertie and Sam's. They always had pintos and cornbread on the stove. And whenever you came in, my grandfather would always say, "Are you hungry? If you're hungry, there's some pintos and some cornbread on the stove, and you're welcome to it." He would buy pintos by the 100-pound bags. Do you remember when people used to buy pintos by the 100-pound bags? Yeah. I wish that when you would eat fried chicken, it would make you a better person. I wish if you would eat mashed potatoes with gravy, that would be an extra, and that you would not only be a good person, but a person of mercy, grace, kindness, you know. But Jesus said, good food don't make you good people. But then again, eating bad food that don't agree with you don't make you bad people. Yet sometimes we might equate our bad behavior to something we ate. Well, that food just didn't agree with me, and I'm a little irritable today. Just didn't agree with my intestines, you know, or my gallbladder's wondering what in the world I'm doing to it. Jesus said there's only one way to be a good person, and that is to have a good heart. I wonder what food you and I could eat to make our heart good. Is there a bread? Is there a wine? Is there a presence among us that we could say, come into my heart, come into my heart, come in today, come in to stay? Is that a prayer that we could pray to someone who can change our hearts? Do we believe that people can change? Do we believe people who interpret their evil ways as doing God's will? You know, we have someone in our scriptures that we read from time to time who was a murderer. He hated Christians. He thought Christians were against Yahweh. He thought Christians stood against everything that Yahweh stood for. And the way he showed his love for Yahweh is that he went and got letters and arrested them and killed them. Do you know who I'm talking about? It was Saul who was given the name Paul. But something happened to him. He changed. How did he change? How did he change? Who was praying for him? Who was witnessing him? Who was asking God to change Saul's heart? Surely there was somebody who knew him and knew of him who was praying for his soul, that God heard their prayer and spoke to Saul, and Saul did listen and Saul did respond. But as Jed prayed in his prayer, God can change this world, but not without us saying, Lord, here I am, send me. There are people that God won't save and whose heart is changed, that they fight against God tooth and nail. It's not that God's not knocking on their door. It's that they're just not opening the door and letting Jesus in. Can you relate? I can relate. Not every time Jesus knocks on my door do I open it. Not every time does Jesus speak to me do I choose to hear him. I'm not good all the time. I know you all don't believe that. I just ask you not to confirm that by asking Mary or Timothy or any of my children. I'm not good all the time. I don't know anybody else who's good all the time. There's times that I say words that could possibly kill people's spirits. There might be looks that I give that could kill. Whenever I see people out in the world that I think that I'm so much different than, Sometimes the Holy Spirit goes, oh, really? Well, what about that time? The Bible says none are good. No, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. None are good except God alone. Therefore, if you and I want to be good people, if we want to have good hearts, then we need to pray that God would give us a good heart. If we want to pray for others who do not have good hearts, we need to ask God to give them a good heart and to live an example before them. Jesus said, hate your enemies, right? Amen? Hate your enemies. Amen?
Love your enemies.
No. See, I'm not going to get an amen out of that from you. Because, see, you know that's not the gospel. But if I were to say, Jesus said to love your enemies, and I were to say amen, you would say amen. If I were to say, Jesus said, don't pray for those who persecute you, you would say amen, right? No, you wouldn't say amen because you know that's not Jesus' words. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who do evil against you. Do not return evil for evil. Return good for evil. That's the only way hearts can be changed. There was a protest going on at a community, at a church, and they were protesting against something, I can't remember what it was, but it involved some of the church people at this particular church. And there was a man who was in the cafeteria who was getting out coffee and donuts because the protesters were out there on the sidewalks protesting. And he went out there pushing a cart with some donuts and some coffee and some orange juice to give them. You know, showing the love of Jesus, right? When he got out there, do you know what they did with the coffee and the orange juice and the donuts? They picked them up and they threw them at him. And he came back in the church stained with coffee, orange juice, and donuts. Well, some people in the church thought, well, that'll show him. Well, the next Sunday they were back. And guess who was out pushing the cart again? The same man, except this time he had a Rubbermaid There are people in our world who are evil but who don't believe they're evil, who do mean things in the name of Almighty God because they believe that they have a biblical scripture for it. There are some who use Nehemiah and Ezra to purify the world. For they said, divorce your pagan wives. There are those in our world who believe in purity, who preach out of Ezra and Nehemiah, and use the Bible to preach that you and I should be pure and to do what they say to do, to hate who they hate, so that we might be pure. But there's a little book in the Bible called Ruth, who said, be careful about divorcing foreign wives, because you might marry a Moabite who believes and who will convert to your God, who might say, your people will be my people and your God my God. In our story today, we find something very disturbing. A Canaanite woman, Jesus is trying to get away. He's been trying to get away from the crowds and people in need. He needed a little R&R. You know what it's like to have a little R&R. You know what it's like to get away. You know what it's like to, when that phone rings, to just let it ring. You know what it's like to go somewhere and you don't want anybody to know where you are. Well, Jesus tried to do this unsuccessfully, but he tried to do this. In Mark's gospel, it says that he went even across the way, away from Gentile territory, into Gentile territory. And he went to a house and he didn't want anybody to know that he was there. Have you ever said to someone, if that phone calls for me, tell them I'm not here? Has anybody ever knocked at your door and you just pretended not to be there? Sometimes you just want to be by yourself. Sometimes you just need to be quiet, just silent. But you and I live in a world where we have people that we're not sure if they're worthy to help or not, or even if we want to help or not. That's part of our maturing. That's part of our growing up. That's part of our lessons that we learn in life. And the Canaanites weren't really good people. They worshiped the god Baal. And here you have a Canaanite woman who was a pagan, maybe. Maybe she prayed to Baal. Or maybe she was someone who recognized a presence in this world that maybe not every Canaanite witnessed. Because when she comes to Jesus, she calls him a messianic name, Son of David, meaning the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus, for some reason, I don't know why he said this. I've heard all kinds of explanations. I've heard that this word dog means house pet. I've heard all kinds of explanations about what this word dog means, because she uses the word dog too. You know what I wish? I wish there was a place inside in there where it was called Georgia and their football team was called the Dogs. You know what I'm saying? So when Jesus called her a dog, he was really calling her a fan of a certain football team. You know what I'm saying? It just bothers me that Jesus calls this woman a dog. I'm sorry. Randall, you got a problem. I just may. And what's the good news about Jesus calling this woman a dog? Well, I don't know. Have I called people names before? Well, yes. Have you called people names before because that's who you thought they were? Well, yes. And then have you learned, or maybe you've thought about it, and maybe you finally extended your mercy to them, and maybe you no longer call them dogs? Well, a name? Well, yes. You know, Jesus was human as well as divine. And sometimes I think we are afraid to face Jesus' humanity so much that it's going to destroy his divinity. And then sometimes we make Jesus so divine, we destroy his humanity. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus grew in favor of God and man. And some people look at this text and go, here we have a woman who wasn't going to take no for an answer. Have you ever not taken no for an answer? Has anyone ever said to you, it can't be done, and you said to them, I don't accept that? Have you ever been so persistent in your prayers and in your search that you finally got what you asked for? This past Saturday, Jad and Allison and Mary and Timothy and I went to Christ First Church to hear from Lifeline about how a community can minister to families with disabilities. This church has a sensory room, and I was so excited about going to see it. I overthink things. When I talk about overthinking things, I'm talking about myself, because I overthink things. You know, things can't be simple. They have to be complicated. So I went in, and Jad and Allison were there, and I said, well, is JB and Millie, did they go in that sensory room? And Jad and Allison, yes. I said, well, how big is it? And Jad said, you know, it's not big at all. I said, what do you mean it's not big at all? He said, it's really small. And I thought, oh, Lord have mercy. You know, because I overthink things. I said, well, what's in it? He said, it's full of bean bags. I said, say what? It's full of bean bags. Well, is there a TV in there? Jed said, I don't know. They were jumping on the bean bags, and when Allison and I went in to see them, they said, go away. I said, you mean they're in a small room, content on bean bags? There was a TV, not out of reach, within reach. They turned the lights off. There's a window there so natural light can come in. The lights are off. Lights sometimes bother children with special needs. Sensory, sight. Bean bags have a feel to them that may bring calmness. And a TV. That's their sensory room. They have a sensory sensitive worship service. So all families with people with disabilities can come in and can worship. And I said, well, talk to me about that. They have these fidget things all in the chairs and pews. And if you come in and that soothes you, you're welcome to hold it and spin it as long as you want to. There are things in the pews that if you want to hold that has a weight. I think they might have some kind of blankets that have weights in it. That when they put them on their shoulders, you can feel them like they'll hug you. Quilters, I want you to know that Mary said, how do you put those weights in them blankets? Some have jackets that schools order, that children wear, that make them feel secure. They turn down the lights. And children, if they pace, they pace. If they make sounds to self-stim, they make noises to self-stim. And everybody there is calm and cool and collect, and they worship God. The music is soft and soothing, and it's all to be sensitive to people's sensory needs. I was blown away. I was blown away. The person who presented the program said, you don't need a big budget. All you need is a good heart. Then I got really excited because I know a church that's got a good heart. I know a church whose resources, the best resources, are the people. I know people who live with families, who put up with a lot, who didn't ask for what they experience and what they have to live with, but it's something in which they deal with every day. This woman said something that broke my heart, but it broke it in a good way. Not with guilt and shame, but in a good way. She said, families with disabilities have chronic needs. Their needs are ongoing. And they go on, and they go on, and they go on, and they go on. She spoke of families that she knew who went to churches, and when they saw their children and what all they need, they pretty much told them that their church couldn't help them and they needed to go somewhere else. The disciples are known for telling Jesus to dismiss the crowds, to dismiss people who they just are not sure they can help them or not. Brothers and sisters, I would like Lafayette First United Methodist Church to be a sanctuary that when people can't find a place for their children and for themselves to worship, because it takes people with an understanding heart, that the Holy Ghost would drive them here, and that you and I would extend our hands to them and say, welcome. You have found your place. If you need things to fidget, here's something to fidget. If you need something to wrap around your shoulders that makes you feel hugged, wrap this around your shoulders. If you need this or if you need that, let us help you. Because in doing so, you and I will be able to have the opportunity to share with them about a person who can change their hearts. If their hearts need changed. And you and I will be instruments in doing that. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm told that in 2035, one out of two people in this world will be diagnosed with autism. One in two. The last I heard was 75%. A lot of needs in our world. But one of the things that God calls His church to do is to find people who has a need and you and me fill it. And you and I have the best resource in the world. It's not just our money. It's not just our time. It's not just our building. It's not all of these things that oftentimes we think about. It's our hearts. It's you. I need you. I needed you last Saturday. I called Dr. Scoggins and he said, how can I help? I called people for the nursery and they said, how can I help? You see, when I call you, I don't know if you're saying yes to me because I'm your preacher or if because you love me. I hope it's both. But now I'm asking you that if we find families in our community who need your help, please don't say yes because I'm asking you to say yes for them. Say yes because that's your yes to them. Let your yes be your welcome so that we can bring people who's tied in their homes, who don't understand their families, to find a place where they can find understanding. That's my calling. And that's what I call today. And I pray if you have ears, that you and I would listen and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this day. May we pray. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Lord, wash us and make us whiter than snow. Wash us with your Spirit, O Lord. Create in us a new heart, a fresh heart, a revived heart, to know that a blessed people are to bless others. And a God who is all suffering calls his children to be all suffering. For there are things that go on and on and on. Sometimes, O Lord, we say, I didn't sign up for this. When in actuality, maybe we did. Speak to our hearts, O Lord, and wash us each and every day and make us whiter than snow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.